Welcome to the Ether Real podcast. I am your host, Katie Sloan. I am an artist, a spiritual life coach, and a Reiki master and teacher. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about the ethereal realms, angels, supernatural experiences, all of those things that seem really woo-woo and way out there, and we're going to be keeping it real. We're going to be normalizing these things because as we move into this golden age of Aquarius, this new 2000-year cycle, our consciousness really raises, and these experiences are becoming more and more frequent as we tune in to those frequencies that are all around us. And so sit back, relax, and enjoy. If anyone has any questions, you can email me, katie@katiesloan, and check out my website, learn more about the celestial realms and the services I offer at katiesloan.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Ether Real podcast. So today I am very excited. I'm always excited for every guest, but today I am super excited because joining me is an amazing human being. She is many things, an actress, an activist, a cosmic goddess, rippling light across the earth plane right now. She is an earth angel and my fellow sister from the stars. I am so honored to introduce my wonderful guest today, that is Anna Lynn McCord. Welcome, Anna Lynn.
Thank you. Hi, Katie. First of all, can I just say, I have been introduced many, many times in my life for the work that I do. Never have I had a more amazing introduction. I love that so much. I would like that. I would like that transcribed and printed out and hung on my wall. Thank you so much, my star sister. Oh, okay. We already have a visitor, a furry friend. She's trying to.
Chloe wants to be in on the action.
Yeah, Chloe, she feels the angel energy already.
Oh, okay. I love that. I'm so happy. When I was writing your introduction, I was like, no, this is going to be a special one because it's so true. We connected through meditation and angels and the classes that I was teaching at Unplug, and the rest is history, right? Now we're in a little tribe and we get to do this amazing work connecting with the angelic realms. And I just feel like so in resonance with your vibration and everything that you're putting out there right now. It's so powerful. So definitely want to delve a little bit into that today.
Absolutely. Well, I'm grateful that people like you exist in human form, because for those of us who are using platforms that are very 3D, we talk about this a lot, it can be very heavy. And to be able to have guides on earth who are like, hey, I can point you in the right direction. You and I were talking before we started recording just about the fact that this doesn't feel new to me as I'm experiencing and learning what you are teaching, and others like you are other guides who are also giving me this new education to Anna Lynn. But because I started learning about it this year, literally earlier in 2021, but it does feel very ancient, and I do feel a deep connection to the teachings, and I'm just like a kid in a candy store, like more, more, more. So I'm excited to learn a little bit more from you today.
Oh, it's amazing, Anna Lynn. And some of the experiences that you've shared in meditations, there's just no doubt you have such a deep connection with the higher realms, with the angelic realms, with the cosmic realms. And I'm just so excited that you've reached this point in your life where you are awakening and you're remembering, because that's what it is. It's like, really, I'm just helping you to remember, you know, and you're going to become that teacher. I feel like you already are. You're already teaching so many through your experience and through your amazing platform. So I feel like you've hit that part in your soul contract where you now step onto your path of light, and you're literally rippling light across the globe right now. It's amazing.
I receive all of that, and yes, and yes, and yes, and thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is definitely, I've had I've had enough dark nights of the soul. I've let everyone in the celestial realms know. Listen, you have my full attention. I'm fully here for whatever you need. You don't have to yell at me anymore. I am the prodigal daughter. I'm all the way back, arms wide open, mind ready, heart open. But yeah, I just even in the last few weeks, I have had quite a intense death, rebirth, resurrection moment in my own energetic, spiritual, personal life. And I one of the things that came through was this. I talk a lot about my story and I talk about trauma and this stuff to help people who are in it right now to be able to hopefully transmute it or transcend it. But I have been guided in the last 3 weeks that I've done enough of that. It's out there. If you want to look it up, you can Google it. But I don't need to stay in that vibration anymore. I don't need to be diving deeply into my past story in this lifetime. That is not going to serve me moving forward. I am unity consciousness. I am here to live unity consciousness as who I am, as what I share, as a smile on my face to someone walking down the street. Whatever my existence now is about. What love is. Love is opening, love is sharing, love is unifying. And I lived a long time fearing love, hating love, thinking love was dangerous. Now I'm like, what? Of course everyone wanted to hide this from me. This is the most powerful force in the universe, in the multiverse. And I'm actually made of it. And I would never, if you talked to me 3 years ago, I had such a cynical, jaded outlook on love, and I only saw it as this romantic type thing. I didn't understand agape. I didn't understand these powerful forms of unconditional love that's experienced on a soulish, spiritual, cellish level. Like in your cells, you can feel that you're made of fragments of light, which they've actually scientifically shown, right? That beneath atoms and subatomic particles are fragmented strings of light. And we are literally woven together by light, which is the most beautiful thing to me because I believed I was dark and damaged for so many years. To know that I actually biologically am made of light is so, like, that changed so much of my outlook on things, just learning something like that. And then to take that to a level where I can look at all of the things that I chose in this lifetime, and all the things that I dreamed of and experienced, and the platform that I have as an actress, and different things like that, how each one has led me on the journey to this place now where I feel home. I feel home in my sense of self. I feel home in the expansiveness of shared experience of unity, whereas I was very closed. I was like, the world is a cruel, evil place. It's a dog eat dog world. They're out to get me, like cutthroat, like kill or be killed. I mean, this is like, these were my daily. Can you imagine me, like, you've known me only this year. Can you imagine me being like this?
Kind of love that though, that you've had that. So it's like you've really been kind of surrounded by so much darkness for such a long time, and now you've had this awakening and this remembrance of your mission as like the earth angel, as the you are made of stars, and you like have this remembrance of that, and now you've broken through those layers of darkness and density. But I feel like because of what you've experienced, you've been able to catapult yourself into the light to even like to such an accelerated rate because of what you've been through and because of having that experience of the polarity. Because that's why we're here, right? On the earth plane. We have to experience a bit of both. I mean, you did it to the extreme.
Yeah, which is, if you know me, that's my Annalyn fashion. It's like 0 to 100.
But now it's time to like really anchor in that light, and people will relate to you on so many levels because of your story and because of what you've been through and how you've managed to alchemize so much trauma through meditation and, you know, Reiki and the spiritual practices that you've thrown yourself into. I think that's truly incredible.
I love that you use the word alchemize. That's the word that I started to understand at this point when, so I had trauma memories come back 3 years ago, And the way out of it was I found the metta meditation. I found the loving kindness, compassion meditation, where I offer myself, may I be happy, may I be at peace, may I be free from suffering. And then I offer that to someone that I love. And then this is where the metta gets kicks you in the butt.
But you have to offer that compassion to someone that you're estranged from, someone that's hurt you, someone that you that's not so easy to love, or someone that, you know.
For me, it was the person who sexually abused me as a child for years and years and years. I was faced in my mind with him when I got to a certain point with this meditation of practicing it over and over and again. I was like, no. Okay, I will offer compassion to anybody. No, I'm not offering this is no, I don't want, I do not want this person to be happy. I want them to suffer. I want them to suffer for a very long time. No, I don't think so. But you use the word alchemy, and I appreciate it because that is exactly what happened. I had that angst, that hurt, that pain, that anger, all those low vibrational energies and feelings inside my body. And my mind was so beautiful. It literally split the perpetrator's image, and his 8-year-old self popped out of his body in my mind. And suddenly I could see him pure and innocent at 8 years old, never having hurt anyone, never wanting to hurt anyone. And prior to his abuses and what happened to him, fully innocent. And I'm like,
Wow.
okay, fine, I'll give loving kindness to the little boy version, but I will not do that to the big person. I'm like negotiating, with the meditation. And I'm like, so then I started sending this energy to that little boy. And oh my gosh, I mean, the alchemy began at that point because I was already feeling just like this mama energy of just like, oh, this poor little boy, all this, wait, no, screw this little boy. And then I'm like, wait, no, I'm so confused. And then it just like something opened up, and it was just this nurture and this compassion, and I was like, why am I afraid of my own love? That's what this is. I am afraid to love this man because I am afraid of the power
Yeah.
I wield. And the power I wield is how profound my capacity to love is. And I directed the love. The little boy was still there, so I was sending him, and then I directed the love straight at the man who looked like the monster of my nightmares. And oh, Katie,
Wow.
I
Alchemy
named my
right there.
campaign. I named my campaign The Love Storm because that was what it was, a storm that turned into love. And it was an alchemical process. And all of a sudden I was like, wait, like I need to find more people that I don't like because this feeling's powerful. Like I want to like, and I would go and whenever I would look at my memories and stuff, and I would do these kind of like, I call it time, my mental time travel. I'd get in my little time travel machine in my brain, and I go back to bad memories, and I would pick up the little version of myself, and I'd be like, we're gonna fly to a beautiful planet with unicorns and rainbows and stars and crystals, and you're gonna have so much fun. We're gonna ride dolphins. It's gonna be amazing. You're never coming back to this bad place. This is like, I literally did this with all of my memories. I was like, I don't even care. Like, I'm an actress. I have a massive imagination, like, I'm just gonna create worlds, maybe tap it upon worlds that already are tapped into by other little light beings. But I
Absolutely.
did this, and in this process, I started to have this integration happen where I was going back in time, changing the past and then changing the future. I was getting myself unstuck, and I was freeing up these fragments of my soul and
Wow.
integrating them with love, with magic, with excitement, with playfulness, with all of these things that I knew, my child self would respond to.
Wow.
And in the process of that, obviously I would see the monster. And I, with this new experience of me being able to send compassion, send loving kindness, send this metta meditation to that person, I was then in those memories. And he would kind of make a move, like an aggressive move, or like try to stop me from taking my child's up. Because the mind starts to do its own thing. You're like, whoa,
Wow.
I'm not controlling this anymore. Like, what just happened? So that's a little trippy, and you just have to hold on to the ride. But once I'd learned that, I just kind of let my mind, because just like the body, the mind wants to heal itself, right? And I always tell people, I'm like, I don't get a cut on my arm and say, okay, blood, coagulate. Okay, scab over. Now new skin start to grow. The body wants to heal itself, so the mind does the same. So if you create that space, the mind will start, and it does it with symbolism. It does it, right? Like with dreams and things like that. So I experienced a moment where there was an aggressive kind of move towards my little self that I was going there to rescue. And I didn't react with this, like before I was going in with an army of Annalens. I was like, we're getting the babies out, you know? And don't get me wrong, those were necessary points. I would like split myself into a 32 large cloned Annalen army. And I was like, I'll rip your face off.
So funny.
But after the metta meditation, all of a sudden, I felt power from the base of myself all the way up. Like I was a pillar of powerful energy. And when you're a pillar of powerful energy, you ain't gotta be that loud. It's like, are you a Yukira Taco Dog, Yukira Taco Bell dog, or are you a Rottweiler? You know, like the Rottie's like, he looks at you like, you gonna come in my yard? Because I don't recommend it. And I had this moment, and I'll never forget. And I see this perpetrator, this monster, whatever, his face in my mind, even right now as we're talking. And he made this kind of move or whatever. And I just started shaking my head like a mother would to a child who's trying to go for the sixth chocolate cookie. And it's like, no, sweetie, no, we're not gonna do any more chocolate because you're gonna be jumping up the walls. And I just said, no, you don't get to do that anymore because my love is so much bigger than your fear. My light is so much brighter than your darkness. And I don't have to fight you because you sense my power. You tried to push my power down and shade it and darken it and make me question it. You don't get to do that anymore. And I'm sorry that you felt you needed to, because that means that your power is hiding underneath shade and darkness and the idea that you could ever be damaged or tainted. And that was the beginning of this shift to light, to this remembrance of my own light. I remember I was in a treatment session with my doctor, and I saw this big brick of ice over, like I was like, I don't even know where to begin to chip away at this ice. And my doctor was so beautiful and so intuitive, and she just said, don't chip away at it, melt it with your love. And when I melted the ice in my mind, a flame was on the inside, and I just had this awareness that that was my light, that it had been there all along. It had never been damaged. It had never been dimmed. It was always burning, always waiting for me to return and melt that ice that had been formed around it, to shut me out from it, to shut it out from the world, and to shut it out from what would become my remembrance of the experience I'm now in. So this whole journey has got me to this place now. I was telling you just before we came on that I don't want to dive into the details of my story anymore. Context is wonderful and necessary, and I'm absolutely here for that. But as you can see, I want to shift into both the healing aspect of it, the transformative nature of trauma to triumph, and also that tiny moment that became so profound where I didn't need an army anymore, where it was my light was the most powerful thing I could bring with me, and I had it with me all along. That's who I am. I mean, literally, you're meeting me at birthday three. Like, I'm like, I just had a rebirth. Like, we went through some shamanic stuff. Like, it was crazy. You can talk to Carolina Goldberg about it. She's like with me through doing Reiki on me like 5 days a week for a few days in the last couple of weeks. But we both, have gotten just we got a beautiful read yesterday with her that just said that this has. Actually, the shift has taken place now, and I feel it, and I'm just so excited about what this new chapter is going to be because I get to go out into the world with what I know. My little tangible mission was become an actress, move into a political space where I'm kind of hopefully gonna be changing some law and talking to some legislators and doing some lobbying, and that's kind of the trajectory that I see myself going into now. But heart level, mind level, spirit level, body level, the whole experience of Annalyn now is like moment to moment, living in that light that was hidden from me for so long and has now just fully returned to its blazing fire.
Yes. And what I love is it really is that simple. It's fear or love. And I feel like your story is such a mirror of everything that's been happening on the macro with the divine feminine, you know, the oppression, the suppression, like the truths that have been buried, the lies that have been told. And now we have this reemergence of this powerful feminine divine light that is
Yes.
sparking up within men and women. And, you know, it's really that reflection of you moving into unity consciousness, you seeing that the most powerful thing we can do right now is to shine love and light into the dark, because all the dark is void of light. Darkness is the
Absolutely.
absence of light. So I feel like at the moment, what we're in is this shift collectively. It's like the powers that be are so desperate to keep us in fear consciousness. They're pulling out everything, every last party trick
Every
to keep us
stop.
divided. But really, it's a choice. We choose to shine love, to not be pulled into all of that polarity. And we choose to
Or when we
unite.
do, to dance our way back out. I know, like for me, I will, you know, I'm sure for the rest of my life, I'll get a little pull, and I might, if my filters are down, or if I'm too tired, or this or that, I might get caught up in something. But I dance with that part of myself now. I'm like, okay, and we're gonna waltz over here now. We're gonna
Yes,
tango over there. Like,
that's it.
but being able to not get the attached stuckness that I used to feel in those lower vibrational. You know, because they're everywhere. And unlike the divine, you taught me this, and you know, the divine requires your permission to intervene. We have to ask for that support. And I love that you always tell us that in your, you know, in the Celestial Tribe and the classes that you do, you always remind us, ask your angels to come in, ask for divine support. They respect your right to free will. And the
100%.
other vibrations do not do that. The second Carolina calls it the drip, drip, drip. They get a little bit in, and then they got that hook, and then they're
They
trying.
feed off of it. They feed off. And unfortunately, you know, most of us find it a lot harder to stay in those vibrations of love and light than in the vibrations of fear. It's so easy to fall into the vibration of fear because we're human, and this is our greatest challenge here on the earth plane, is to stay out of fear and to shine our light and stay in the vibration of love. But those lower energies, they really feed off of that. And you
They
feel it.
activate our nervous system too. I think that was kind of the experience. I've got a heart monitor on right now because I had like one of the clearing points in the last 3 weeks was I had some stuff come up, and it started to trigger heart palpitations for 3 weeks. And like we're good. It's good. This is just the final, you know, like
Edging.
making sure we clear all check all the boxes on the tests and stuff. But I lived in a body of terror for the last 3 weeks where I was waking up like, oh, my heart beating 166 beats per minute. I have a resting heart rate of 58, like 100 beats per minute more than I'm used to my heart rate. Like, you know, on a day, you know, doing activities and stuff, I fluctuate between the 50s and the 80s. So to have double that and
That's
my heart
scary.
just like pounding out of my chest. And it built so much compassion and so much empathy for people who live in scary bodies. And this is one of the ways that the lower vibrations come at us. They attack our physical body. It's easy to get in with the toxins and the air and the food and the, you know, all of these different, you know, ways that our body can be so easily affected by whether it's chemicals from our own brain secreting stress hormones to the world outside triggering it, like bottom up, top down, inside out, we're getting hit with all of it.
Oh
So I
yeah,
have so much
radiation.
compassion. All of these things that aren't necessarily factors that we can always control. There are some of them we can, but we're exposed to a lot of things. And that, I think that's another aspect of the number one thing you can ever do to help yourself. If you don't do anything else, be kind to yourself. That's the first thing, like, that no one teaches us and is the first step towards any kind of love and light shift is with this voice in the mind that can be so incredibly kind when we build a relationship with it. But in the beginning, when they put the Kool-Aid in our sippy cups,
Right.
which is what I've been saying, like literally, you can't help but drink the Kool-Aid when they put it in your bottle. So we drink the Kool-Aid and we hear these narratives of we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not successful enough, we're not wealthy enough. And those chains, I call them the invisible chains of our spiritual slavery, right? Slavery of the mind. And all of a sudden, one by one, we stop being our truest self. Our light and love starts to get covered up and shaded, and we believe we're dimming, and we feel that sense in our bodies. And that's another way that these lower vibrations can hook you, because if your body doesn't feel good, I always say, if this world, if the body that is the world I live, in, through, and around, if that world doesn't feel good, it's very hard to cope with the world outside. But if this world, if the body world feels good, I can handle anything in the outside world. And I think that giving ourselves compassion and that first step of the metta is self-compassion, because you can't give what you don't have. And sometimes that's the hardest step. Sometimes giving someone else compassion is so much easier than looking at ourselves and saying, "You did so good. You did so good." We don't do that for ourselves enough.
You know, it's so true, everything you're saying, but it's so funny what you just spoke about with just your body not feeling good. Because before our podcast, I started to feel really ungrounded and really kind of off, and I had this huge pain in the right side of my shoulder, kind of at the top of my heart chakra. And I was thinking, oh gosh, I feel really, really off. And then I thought, what is this? And then I thought, ooh, there's definitely energies that do not want me to do this podcast with Anna Lynn. So I stood in front of my divine
Ooh, I got
mother.
chills.
Yeah, I stood in front of my divine mother artwork, and I literally was like, did with the love, I beamed love out from my heart, and I called in all the energies, and I called in that pillar of light that we always do, and I just felt that light rippling through my body. And I said my affirmations: I am strong, I am powerful, I am healthy, I feel good, even though in that moment I really didn't feel good. And then I came downstairs. I took some spirulina, little boost of green for the heart. And then I only remember it now. Like I felt fine the moment I connected with you, but I felt like there was an energy that was trying to sabotage beforehand.
Wow. And it will, it's crazy, right? And whenever that happens too, one of the things I started doing, I learned this from Gary Zukav, who I adore, the author of Seed of the Soul and Spiritual Partnerships and so many amazing books. But Gary Zukav says, "My body feels sensation. I am not my body." And so when my heart was like going crazy, blah, 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 I started saying, "The body's heart is palpitating. The body's heart is beating out of its chest. The body's heart, I am not that. I am what is observing this. I am what is abil what has the ability to calm this." And though I couldn't, my energy, my essence actually could not bring the heart rate of the body down by itself. I ended up in the ER. That's why the heart monitor, like a lot of things happen, because I needed to experience them for other reasons for a different podcast later. But for today's purposes, I kept doing it. I stayed with my truth on it. I stayed with the body, and I learned this experientially when I started doing ice baths. I started doing cold baths last October.
Yes, with Wim
Obviously.
Hof. I listened to the Wim Hof podcast with you. Oh, it was so good. And it made me laugh so much. And I just thought, I love that. I love that about you. And I love that about Wim Hof, because just that humor and that laughter is so uplifting. It was
Oh my God, he's
amazing.
so playful. He's a 60-something-year-old kid. He's so amazing. But
Love it.
I learned in that practice, in being in the cold. My body is cold. I'm not the body. I'm actually heating up the water with how powerfully hot my energy field is. Like my energy field resonates heat. So I could start to feel my electromagnetic field outside my body heating the water. And if I moved even a finger, the cold water would come in. But if I stayed very still, I would feel just a complete, as if someone had drawn around me, like a complete outline of my body was heat. And I was in a cold bath, 42 degrees Fahrenheit, which is, I don't know what Celsius, but very not
Very
warm.
cold.
Yeah, very not warm. And I was like, I was completely, as again, staying completely still. My whole body felt complete warmth. And it was that recall of this, that practice, having done the ice bath so many times, and then being in this body that was so terrifying, it couldn't be me. I was like, I am moving towards love and light. So this can't be me, because this is all the way in the opposite direction. I don't know what's happening to the body, but that is not me. But it was really powerful, because my mind was trying to say things that were not very kind. And I kept saying, I'm not my mind. You could be totally right, lovely little mind. It sounds like you're being a jerk, but you could be totally right. I just don't care to agree with you. So, and I did this dance for the last several weeks, and it was interesting. It was such an interesting experience. Interesting, while I was going through it, would probably not be the word that I would use for it. But
Quite
to think about
traumatic.
it, what'd you say?
Quite traumatic when you're in that,
Yes.
you know, but amazing that you have those tools to get through it, because
The
I think,
tools to
yeah.
be, I've never been more present
Wow.
while being so attacked by things that aren't present, like that would make me shift from, the future, I'm ruined, my whole body's ruined forever, or like the past of like, this is like because I was traumatized, and it was due, some things that were centering around the stresses of memories and stuff. And I was like, no, we're not doing any of that. I am right here observing it. I am the one observing. I am the one who sees. I'm the one who knows. And the body is doing what the body is doing. It is a beautiful thing, because it is trying to cope. It's trying to survive. It's flying from one end of the spectrum to the other, and it's spiking, and it's doing all this stuff. But if I just keep watching, one thing that I know for certain, and I don't know anything for certain, but I know one thing, is that change, the only thing that's certain is change. Like that will happen. I have been in this body and it has felt beautiful. I have been in this body and it has felt terrible. In this moment, it feels terrible to be in this body, experiencing this body, but it can feel beautiful again. I know, because I've experienced both, and they've danced back and forth many times. And it was that awareness and that truth. And I always think truth is synonymous with love. And so it was that love that through truth was coming through my higher self, giving me that reassurance that this too shall pass. And I'm so happy, because it was one of the things that created that death rebirth cycle, but in a way that I feel like was really kind of scraping the bottom of whatever was left that needed to die, die before I die, if you know what I mean.
Because everything, and you'll know this through your Reiki training, because this is what we teach, everything has mental and emotional roots. So it's you are purging, even though it feels physical, you are purging emotion, you're purging that energy that needs to be shifted. And so it's
Yes.
almost like that's where gratitude is a really great tool as well. Like, your body is an amazing thing. Thank you for making me aware that I'm going through this and I'm letting it go. I do not fear. I know it's all part of my journey. And I say, like, through
Yeah.
every experience we have, no matter how, you know, awful and scary it is, we actually serve the whole, because the creator, the universe, source, however you want to call, whatever you want to call God, grows through our experience here on the earth plane. It's one of the most challenging places that a soul can come to. And
Yeah.
when we're here, we are constantly uploading our experiences into the collective, but we can also download from the collective. So I feel like a lot of maybe what you're feeling is collective energy as well, Annalyn.
Oh, I felt that. And I used gratitude the whole time through the process. I remember sitting on the gurney outside the ER. There were no beds. And I was out there on the gurney at 3 a.m. in the morning, like through the night for hours. And I kept saying, thank you that I'm on a gurney. Thank you that someone came to get me. Thank you that I now understand like what this feels like, so I can be more compassionate. And I was also treated very badly by the EMTs and by like
Oh,
I later heard that they have been on 120-hour work weeks, were recalled, they were understaffed. So I understood, but while your heart's gone, I'm like, the body's like freaking out and someone's treating you not so kindly and acting like it might be your fault. Well, I was like, okay.
Like, where's
But
your compassion? Where's your empathy? Show me some
yeah.
red right now.
I was having to generate compassion for both of us. Like, I was like, I had to do it for all of us. But in that process of experiencing it, I started seeing people around the world. Just, I was like, I'm so grateful that I'm an advocate for myself. I don't go to doctors and stuff very often, which is why I kind of tried to manage this for about 8 days by myself, and it just got worse and worse. And eventually I was like, okay, I need to actually get help. But because of that, I am very, I have a very strong outlook on my well-being and how I handle it. So when someone says something that doesn't resonate with me, I'm kind of like, yo, buddy, I know that you technically went to school for this, but everything in myself is saying no to what you're saying. So let's try something else. And I will advocate for myself. And even in that moment of my body during in duress, I was still advocating for myself. And I just started to think about so many people not being able to advocate for themselves, not feeling that they had a voice, not being able to manage that much intensity in the body and speak up for themselves, and what that might feel like, and how you might have shame about it later. My mind went all over the place. I was like, I'm like sending love to all people on the planet in this moment. I was like, literally, I was so affected by how the body felt, and it really expanded to just the vastness of all of humanity. At any point that you've ever been in pain, Annalyn is sending you love right now.
Oh,
I was
they
like,
ripple in that light
yeah.
globally right now. I love it. And it's so important to be aware that like that we are one mind collectively. And I know this is something that you speak about a lot because you do such powerful work as an activist for child trafficking, which is something I feel very passionate about as well. And my husband and I support the Child Rescue Coalition. And it's that mentality of that separation mentality of this doesn't affect me, so I'm just going to pretend it's not really happening, but actually it affects the actions of someone, whether it be across the other side of the world or like next door to you, affects you equally.
Yes, the butterfly effect, right? The wings of the butterfly flapping on this side of the world can alter a storm on the other side of the planet. It's that the power of how connected. And if anyone questions how connected we are, I'm just kind of like, COVID? Like, we kind of like, it went around the world real fast. Like, we're kind of connected whether we want to be or not. You talk about these different dimensions, and dealing with fighting human trafficking and dealing with these very dark stories and scenarios and heavy, heavy experiences that the survivors I work with have been through. You go through all kinds of different narratives in your mind of like, how can a God exist and this happens to like, evil on the world must be bombed and eradicated and blown up. And you go through a lot of layers before you get to any kind of love and light about it. And I definitely experienced each of those layers. And my girls, my survivors, and we've had survivors as young as 13 months old, Katie. We
Oh
rescued
my
a 13
God.
month old. The guy had HIV/AIDS, and we thankfully, because the presence that my organization has in Cambodia, which is where our ground team is, because we've had such a presence there for the last 25 plus years, we were able to get her within 72 hours, get her treatment. She came back negative for all the tests for HIV. She's now our number one meditator. I think she's. Is she turning 4 this year? This coming year? Yes. She became our number one meditator by 2 years old. She was waking up at 4 a.m. with the group and can do full lotus position and was like drops in, and you're just looking at this little bubble like, what? This is like, she's beyond. And these girls and this, anyone who's surviving and thriving and moving beyond their different varying traumas, more power to you, hats off to you, you're a little hero to me. But these girls specifically, they hold such a deep place in my heart for multiple reasons. Obviously what they've survived, obviously their stories, obviously who who they are just as beings. But on top of that, the biased part of it is that they loved me when I didn't believe I was lovable. They loved me for no reason. I didn't earn it. I couldn't earn it. They just gave their love to me for free, and I didn't understand it, and I couldn't make sense of it. And I just kept coming back to Cambodia because I was like, I want to feel this again, but I don't feel like I deserve to be here. But I'll try to raise all the funds and raise the awareness so that I matter enough to have this love. And it wasn't, they didn't know. A 3-year-old doesn't know that what you're doing, raising funds at an event in New York or LA. Like, they just love you because of who you are and who they experience you as. And I started to little tiny little cracks, in that massive fortress that was around my heart started to show light through. And through the years, they just, melted me with their love. And one of the things that they always told me, I'm from America first and foremost, so there's that. I'm also from Georgia, so that's the South. So prior to my lightning moments, I also was still a Southern girl who was a gun owner, and I bleed red, but I'm definitely blue. I vote blue. I'm blue. But I grew up shooting guns in the backyard. So I'm like, we go kill these assholes, excuse my French, but we go find traffickers and pimps and we blow them up. And my girls are like, no, sister, we love, we forgive. I'm like, no, we
Wow.
don't love, we don't forgive, we kill them, they don't mess with my babies. When we find them, we hunt them down and we get really big guns and we kill them. And they're like, no, sister, they're like 6 years old, like, no, sister, we don't kill, we forgive and we love. And it was just this powerful energy that they had at 6 years old, at 8 years old, at 3 years old, to be able to have embodied both terror and now the beauty of transmutation and transcendence to get to a point of forgiveness and love. And I didn't understand it. I was still who would go on to be the one fighting, like, no, I'm not sending compassion to the perpetrator, that stayed for a long time. And finally, with the Love Storm, with this campaign that we launched last year on National Human Trafficking Awareness Day, the Love Storm was the amalgamation of all of the work that I'd done tangibly to fight human trafficking. But that lesson that my girls have been trying to teach me from day one, that we don't kill, we don't harm, we forgive and we love. And I couldn't understand it because I hadn't reached that place in my own existence. And so, in a way, people who feel like this fight to end modern day slavery and human trafficking, when they feel like it's not personal, I understand. I understand not being able to relate to something because you don't fully relate to it. So, the point of the Love Storm was that we want you to be able to relate. And at our events, we guide you into this meta meditation, and we bring you in, and we ask you to offer compassion to yourself and to those that you love. And then we ask you to go into that space that we don't want to go into, where we offer compassion as a group to those we don't feel so compassionate towards. And at the end of the event, what we hope for is that you broke an invisible chain inside yourself today. That's what we hope for. If by realizing that you too have experienced slavery, slavery of the mind, if you see that there actually is a personal connection to fight slavery in our world, because it's not 48 million slaves, it's 7.8 billion slaves on our planet. And if you realize yourself in our event, and you realize and are realized by the experience of seeing yourself, even for a 2-hour event, even for a 2-hour event, seeing yourself as perfect just the way that you are, and you break those chains inside your world, inside your mind, that is your world, and you decide you want to come on board with us and fight breaking chains on the outside, we are stoked. We are so happy to have you. We are so grateful. But if you only ever end slavery inside your own mind, inside your own world, inside your own home, I couldn't be happier. Because as you said, Katie, when we heal ourselves, we heal the whole. We've had slavery in our world for thousands of years, and no one has ever ended it because we're doing it the wrong way. We have to clean up the dirty, icky yuckiness from the inside out. We have to end slavery from the inside out. We
Yeah.
can't, with our chains dragging with us, go in slavery out in the world. It's not possible. It won't happen. We have to do this from the inside out. And so the slogan, our little like tagline of the Love Storm, it's ending slavery from the inside out. So we invite you to come and make it personal. And if it becomes personal and you get involved, then the Love Storm actually acts as a network. So when we're allowed to travel again, because the whole world hopefully finally opens, 2022, we're deciding that 2022, the world will open.
We are. We're putting it out there.
We're
2022.
letting you know,
22
you've got a
opening
deadline on
November.
closure of world.
Otherwise, we're just going to have to like actually just fully enter those higher dimensions and just fly ourselves, right? I mean, we know we have wings.
Yes, we do have wings. There is that. Also, I do think it's a very magical number to do this campaign in 2022.
Oh, super powerful. Yeah, 2022
2022. I
is an
was
archangel number.
the name. Yes. So, the Love Storm will act as a network to connect little organizations all around the world that are doing this work. And the way I always describe them is they're like these beautiful little waves on the ocean, and I want a tsunami. So we're gonna put them all together, and we're gonna storm the planet with love. And we have a 22 city wide campaign planned. We hit LA and New York. Our storms hit LA and New York, and then COVID happened. But we have London, we have Sydney, we have South Africa, we have a lot of
Okay, I'm
places.
there for London. So when is London?
Well, now that we're starting to put the team back together, we're building out what will be our hopeful schedule. But I believe for UK, Europe, we're looking at, is it, I think May is what we're looking at right now. Well, I'll make sure that you have all the actual dates once they're set. Everything's
Oh, I would
tentative right now.
love to participate. I mean, I just think it's such an amazing thing, and so there's just so much power behind that. The power of mass meditation and uniting for that common intention to spread light. It is just like you cannot put into words how powerful that is. And if we all did this, like I feel like if the world just did one mass meditation, like, and we all did it, well, all this would be gone. Like we would shed everything in a day. Come on, people.
This is the vision that comes through, and I didn't understand what I was seeing. It was happening last year. So during COVID, it became a deep dive for me, into my meditation. I started meditating like 6 hours a day. I was like, this is amazing. Like I was just like going crazy. And I was doing a lot of breath work, and I was seeing all these beautiful images and beautiful things. And I was like, oh, it's so lovely, Lola. I had no idea that some of the things I was seeing, other people see them too. a lot of people. But I was like, oh wow, that's really trippy. So I really didn't have an understanding of like astral travel or any of that stuff. I was just having a lot of fun because every time I would meditate, I would fly through the stars.
But I feel like it's actually very rare for that to happen that quickly. I mean, that is like very,
Well,
very
I have
genius.
been meditating, I'll say, for I've learned started meditation probably 8 years ago. I was doing it irregularly, where I would go on, I would dance with it for a little while, and then I would go out. But I had been doing consistent breath work with I was coinciding my trauma treatment with breath work and Kundalini and all these practices that I was experiencing were releasing energies from my body. What I did not realize was I was also secreting DMT into my bloodstream. And so I was consistently going through this journey of breathwork induced DMT states. And I think that there was a little bit of, a little build up by the time I actually was doing it so powerfully and concentrated in these ways for, while I had all this time at home during COVID. And so I had this this reoccurring image that comes up, and it's like this blue light that's over stadiums all over the world. And in those stadiums are people meditating together on a same day, like on, and I didn't know if it was because of the love storm or if it was like an inspirational image that my mind was creating. And then later I was like, I think this might be a memory of
Wow.
a future past.
Yeah, well, that's it. And it's that thing of timelines, isn't it? Like, we know that actually time is an illusion, which is a real mind bender. So you literally are given little flashes of the future there. And I do believe that that is connected with love storm. Is that what you believe?
It's what it feels like.
Yeah,
It feels like that.
100%.
Yeah. It feels like
Wow.
that. And it's interesting because of all these little things that I've loved. I've always loved in like our football and rugby. And like I'm a big like footy. I'm obsessed with footy and I've always been. And it's really interesting. So I have these random kind of relationships in the different footy in the world, in Australia, like rugby in Australia, rugby in England, and then football in the US. And it's kind of a strange thing because I'm also very not like nothing to do with that world, but it's like it's almost like all of my worlds were meshing together in this imagery that was coming, these visuals that are coming into my mind. And it's so powerful, the energy is so powerful, and there's some kind of shift where we just stop fighting the and calling it pseudoscience and realizing that quantum physics is actually physics.
Yes.
There's it's actually real. The microcosm has been proven. We don't need to keep like
Yeah.
reproving something that it clearly exists. The scientists don't argue this, and it's so funny in conversation with people who are like atheists or science-based, quote unquote, and they'll fight you on quantum physics. And I'm like, but it is science. I'm like, I'm so confused how you're fighting with me about us. And you're like, well, you're into quackery. You're into this weird stuff. I'm like, okay, that there is some stuff that I'm into that sounds like quackery, and I will totally give you that. I know from my own personal experience that it doesn't feel like quackery, but you're welcome to judge me. I don't care.
Yeah. And it's
Outside
all
of the part where you
programming.
can judge me, there's also a part that is actually based fully in science, and you like it has
Yeah.
nothing to
And
do
you
with me.
cannot deny.
I didn't create quantum physics. Like, well, I mean, I would love to create quantum physics, but I did not.
Maybe you did. Maybe you did.
Maybe it was me. I split the atom, y'all.
You're
I'm
gonna remember
not gonna remember that part. I
that.
want to ask you one thing, since you are the angel guru of the planet that I know personally. The seraphim. You led the most beautiful journey, and you took us all the way to source. And on the way to source energy, we stopped by the seraphim, and my mind just went,
Yeah.
and my heart exploded. And I always, every day, I call in the seraphim angels, and I would love to. Other than their name and that they're very high vibration, high level angels, I don't really know that much about them. So I don't
Yeah.
know if there's anything you can
You're
share.
I mean, your experience after that meditation, it was so funny because I'd been saying I'd been building up this meditation, which would be my last one, weekly class for Unplug. And I'm like, it's gonna be the best one yet. It's gonna be the best one yet. Don't miss it. And I was like, no pressure. It's gonna be the best. Okay. And then I did a little breath work because I also channel in those deep states of breath work. I get there so fast through breath work. There's no other form of meditation that gets me there that quick. And all this information about the seraphim came through, and I could see them, and there was all this like incredible golden light, like what would be just so blinding for our physical eyes. But obviously, it's not our physical eyes, it's our third eye in the meditation, but it was just so powerful. I mean, I had to go and sit by a tree for like an hour after channeling the
The
seraphim.
ground.
It was just great. Yeah. But wow, they see the angels. This is what they do. Like, they're constant, there's just so much to learn, and they're constantly teaching us and giving us the next thing and the next thing. So I can't wait for them to teach me the next thing. But I think that your experience with the seraphim was so powerful because that's where you came from. Like, at the very beginning of, I'm gonna say time because there is no time, but when your soul was being sent out into the vast base of the cosmos, and you were given your soul's journey, you came from that realm. You came from, you lived, the seraphim live like almost within source, like so close to source.
It's just, you cannot even imagine how high vibrational this energy is. Like if our physical body was to venture there, it would just combust. Like we couldn't take that frequency of light. But actually that what you felt, the spark that is within you, is of that realm. It is of that place. So I think for you, you just remembered that that was your home.
Yeah. Oh my God. This resonates so much. My heart's pounding, and don't worry, little heart monitor. It's a good pounding. Wow, this feels very like the way truth feels in my body. And I've, you know, started to be able to experience that really, you know, beautiful sense of yes.
Yeah.
Yesness. Yeah. Yes. Energy. Thank you so much. Because that it actually really makes sense about what this last 3 weeks have been. And just as you were talking, I heard this is what you went through. I had asked, I want to experience love and light at the highest capacity that my body can feel it and experience it. And I think part of me was combusting. I had had this moment right before. I had a very deep journey, and some memories had come back the next day. And so I was thinking I was having panic attacks and stuff from this like thing. And I think that there was crossover between both. But during the journey, I felt all of my insecurities just fall off of my existence. Anything that had been left over, any residual ick or yuck or attachments or the Kool-Aid in my sippy cup, you know, it was all gone. And I saw this image of, I feel like it was Yeshua, like Jesus Christ energy, like it was Christ. It was so high vibration, and I just felt Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua energy. And he smiled at me. That was it.
Wow.
And I went into this crazy release of just hysterics. And then I actually started speaking like out of my own, like actually out of my, like, I was going between the meditative like, state and like, and
actually light language.
Talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what love is. Like I felt the purest form of the most expansive vastness that I could, there's no words for it. It has to be experienced, but it all came back to the smile. And the thing that it kept purging out of me was I didn't deserve that smile, and it was given to me freely. I didn't deserve that smile. And this smile was just being given to me. And it was like, I don't know why it was so profound, but it was so profound that someone could share a smile and the energy could just be enough to heal all of this confusion and distortion and all of the lies and the Kool-Aid and the things. Yeah. And it was just like, I got washed over with the simplicity of the gift of a smile. Mm-hmm. And I know it might sound so silly, but it's like, it meant the whole entire universe to me. Mm-hmm. And after that, I mean, I felt this feeling inside me. And maybe there was an element of just that kind of explosive source energy thing, but this really resonates so much. I so appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that, Annalyn. Cause it, like, let's just note, like there's a smile and there's a smile from Yeshua. And that is like next level.
So not so bad.
No, not at all. But wow, how incredible. I just love, I love working with Yeshua. In every situation where I'm conflicted or triggered, I ask myself, what would Yeshua do? You know, what would Yeshua do? Well, Yeshua walked into the leper camps and Yeshua didn't have any fear because Yeshua is just of such a high vibration and literally sent from source that, you know, and he came here to anchor in those frequencies that we are now moving into. And he spoke of this time. And it's important for us all to remember that, whether no matter what your religion is, whether, because, you know, I was raised Catholic, but I'm definitely not Catholic now, as I've moved away from those very controlling teachings that were definitely
manipulated.
You. I'm such a heretic, but no, I did a lot of studying and I was guided a lot by Yeshua. You know, and that came really from after being trained by Doreen Virtue and then her kind of turning rogue. Like I really went down this path with Yeshua to guide me as to what was truth. And it just opened up this whole incredible journey of, you know, my path, hopefully to enlightenment, because that's why we're all here, right? To find our way home.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was raised Christian. The person who was perpetrating those abuses onto me was a pastor in the local church. And so the experience for me of coming back to being held in the light of Yeshua and his smile and that love and this remembrance that even when I was a child, I remember knowing that it wasn't the spiritual or the divine aspect of what I had been taught that was so distorted. It was human distortion. I actually knew that as a young teenager. And I'm grateful that I never took this kind of hatred towards those symbolic, the symbolism of what the teachings were. I did have a lot of reticence about the Old Testament, and I understand why.
Oh, yes.
Because like,
I've been down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, it's old for a reason. We got a new one for a reason. Yeah. But to be able to come back to this moment and this completion and this sense of this death and resurrection, which is exactly what it felt like, and to be presided over by, you know, to Yeshua's energy it was just like I was being fully, completely cleared of any of those distortions that had used that symbolism against me and against my body and against my own source of love and light. Yeah. And it was coming full circle to the truth and the innocence of Yeshua. And I was reminded too of him going into the temple and screaming at people. And because I have this like storm, it's a love and storm that we mentioned. Yeah. The storm is definitely still intact. I'm a fierce, like I'm gonna attack you with my love. But that was him. He also embodied the storm. He was able to.
He was a rebel. He like,
that protection energy was powerful and deadly. Like, you know, he could call you out. And I think that there's this idea with spirituality that you have to sit on a mountaintop in the lotus position and say, Om Mani Padme Hum, which I will totally do in a heartbeat with anyone who wants to do it with me. But also, I will come for you, bro. Like,
yeah.
And I think that there's so much that would have been taken from me if I had allowed the distortion to cause this hatred towards Yeshua. And it was, I definitely stepped away and I definitely was resistant to just those dialogues because I didn't want the triggers that came with them.
Of course.
But it was never anything against, it was like no hard feelings to Yeshua, but I'm like, I'm going in a different direction. Like Buddha's more my thing, you know, like let's go this way. And coming back full circle and coming into his space and into his energy in such a deep state. Wow. and feeling just the expansiveness of the multiverse.
Yes.
It all being that beautiful smile that he showed me. And his smile could be as vast as the multiverse. And that's the way it hit. And it was so powerful. And I felt that energy since and through all of this kind of ichness of the body, I've just kept holding on to that smile. I'm just like, but the smile, y'all, but that smile, y'all.
Smile. Honestly, just like imagining that is like, I cannot stop smiling.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So happy.
Yeah. There's just so much to discover with like the actual teachings of Yeshua that have been kept from us. And I've just finished writing my second course, which is all about the Divine Mother. And it was completely guided by the energy of Yeshua because he taught about the Divine Mother as well, but they eliminated that. He taught about the balance of energies and how that is the key to enlightenment. The key is balancing the masculine and the feminine within, honoring each other. And that was why at the end of the day, why he was crucified, because they did not, at the time, women were not, you know, they were shut out, even, you know, the Jews of the day, like they were kept in it. Women had, could, were not allowed into the temple even.
Right. I mean, you know, Gregory, 300 years later or whatever, calls Mary Magdalene the most important woman to Yeshua.
Yeah.
Literally calls her a prostitute.
Yeah.
And people went,
and then everybody believed it.
Hundreds of years believing it.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And even now, even though I can't remember, you know, what Pope it was, I don't think it's the one that's in now, it may have been the one before that said, actually, this is not true. The majority of people don't.
Right? Wasn't it Pope Francis?
Was it Pope Francis?
I think it was.
The majority of people still don't know that fact, that actually Mary Magdalene, there is no mention, there is no suggestion even that she was a prostitute. But what that did was it totally devalued her story. They burned her gospel as well. They burned her gospel.
I know. I've been reading the pages that survived, and obviously the Gospel of Thomas was also eradicated and removed, and all the 19 different gospels, right, that did any kind of anything about divine feminine, anything about the spirit
eliminated.
Soul, like it was all just like zap, nope, that doesn't fit in our, you know,
that doesn't go with our
society ideology.
So there's just so much truth that is being unearthed right now, and we really have to just know that this is, that everything is happening really is meant to happen for a reason. We are purging the darkness. We have to see the darkness for it to be released, and that's what's happening right now. But we are moving into that golden age that Yeshua spoke about. He prophesied when he said, you'll do things that are even greater than what I'm doing now. Like, it's the age that we're moving into that he spoke about, where we remember, like you said, we remember that we are those pillars of light, that we are made from that divine golden light of source, and that there is nothing as powerful as that. Once we realize that, it's game over for the darkness, because nothing can compete with the power of love. Absolutely nothing.
It can't. And it's like, why would you want to?
I know.
Why would you want to compete? Like, love is just everything.
It is. Oh, and I feel like that's just such a lovely place to end this session, just to remember how powerful we are, and how, no matter how you're feeling, well, like, just observe when you're feeling angry or out of alignment, and remember, just come back to that place of light within yourself and love. Just shine light and love into the darkness.
I love that so much. Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm just so happy to do this with you. I'm so happy to be on this journey with you. I just can't wait to hear the experiences that you're going to continue to have. And I know that you're just rocketing into this realm of, like, just knowing and remembrance, and you're already spreading so much light. So thank you so much for all that you do. And I will see you in our next celestial journey, right?
Yes, you will.
Who knows where we'll end up?
Exactly. I'm very excited about it. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you so much, Anna.
So much love.
Sending you so much love right back. Bye-bye.
For more information on the Celestial Tribe, please head to katiesloane.com. If you want to learn more about Anna Lynn McCord and The Love Storm, head to thelovestorm.com or follow her on Instagram at @TheAnnaLynnMcCord. Thanks for listening, and remember, your angels have your back.